Tanya for the 22nd of Shvat, for Chav Beis Shvat, is in Pesek Chav Gimel, chapter 23, and it's on page 305 in Lessons in Tanya. Today is, of course, the first Yahrzeit of the Rebbe Tzenchaya Mushka, who was the daughter of the previous Rebbe, and the one who was chosen to accompany the Rebbe when he went to Kastrama. For the 9 days that he was in Golos in Kastrama, his daughter, the Rebbe Tzenchaya Mushka, was the one who was chosen to accompany him there. And then, as the Rebbe Tzen, she was the Rebbe's wife for 60 years. And we now know that one of the reasons that the Rebbe accepted in Tovshin Yud the Nesius and was willing to become a Rebbe was that the Rebbe Tzen said to him that if he doesn't accept the role, then the 30 years of Mesiras Nefesh that her father had for Hasidus would be wasted. And so not only was she a daughter of a Rebbe and the wife of a Rebbe, but she actually gave her husband to Hasidim and encouraged him to become Rebbe while knowing full well what that meant for her and how that would affect her private life. So the Mesiras Nefesh of the Rebbe began by the very fact that she gave us a Rebbe and then supported him for the 60 years to make sure that the Rebbe is available to Chassidim and to Chassidus at the cost of her own private life. In the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is saying that the two first commandments, Anochi v'lo yiyalecha, are basically the positive and the negative side of Avodah Zarah. The positive statement about faith, about emunah, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the belief in God, and the negative side is the rejection of Avodah Zarah, lo yiyalecha elokim acherim. And in these two commandments, all the commandments are contained. In the first commandment, the positive commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, all the positive mitzvahs are contained. And in the second commandment, all the negative. So that the Mesiras Nefesh that every Jew has, even the lowest of the low, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, is really present in every mitzvah. Because every mitzvah, whether it's a positive or a negative, is a part of the commandment concerning Avodah Zarah, either the positive side, Anochi, or the negative side, Lo Yiyalecha. And in this way, the Rebbe explains how the Mesiras Nefesh that a Jew has, for which he doesn't have to work, he doesn't have to be a Chacham, he doesn't have to be able to understand God's greatness, and yet he has the Mesiras Nefesh as an inheritance, and with this Ahava alone, and with the Yira that comes with it, he is able to serve God. And that's why it is very close to every Jew to serve God, even with the heart. Because the heart of every Jew already contains a Mesiras Nefesh kind of Ahava that makes it impossible to separate himself from God. How does this apply to all mitzvahs, though? This Mesiras Nefesh expresses itself usually in the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, or the commandment against Avodah Zarah. For this, the Alter Rebbe explains that Avodah Zarah means not a denial of God's existence. It means believing yourself to be something separate from God, a denial of God's oneness. And every Avodah is a denial of God's oneness, as the Rebbe will soon explain further. And every positive mitzvah is a recognition and a strengthening of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and particularly the study of Torah. The oneness, the yichud, that comes from the study of Torah and from the performance of mitzvahs is the opposite of Avodah Zarah, which is a denial of God's oneness. Through the mitzvah, one becomes completely united with God. The example is that the body, or the limbs of the body, are completely responsive to the soul, and so mitzvahs are called a vorim de malka, that in the doing of the mitzvah, the nefesh and its garments become the limbs of the king. They become united with God. And that is the oneness of Anechi Hashem Elikecha, the oneness of God that every mitzvah produces. Now on page 305. Now, since the Zotzen, God's will, is united with God in a total oneness, and who begilu ligamri v'le behest upon him klal uklal, b'nefesh olikis ulevusheh hapnimim, in the godly soul, it is not at all concealed, this will of God. Because when studying Torah, he is in fact studying God's words. It is one with God, even more so than in mitzvahs, because in the mitzvah, God's will is that you should put on tefillin, for example. And then the person responds to that will and puts on tefillin. So what he's doing in the putting on of tefillin is a response to God's will. It isn't God's will itself. Whereas when a person is studying the laws of tefillin, Hilchos tefillin, then what he's doing in absorbing the halacha, or in saying the halacha, which are the more inward garments of the soul, machshava and dibur, here he is completely united and completely at one with God's will, because it is God's will that he is studying. So he is connected with the will itself, whereas a mitzvah is one step removed. The will itself is the mitzvah and the commandment, and the person is putting on the tefillin. So he's acting out according to the will, according to the instruction. Whereas in learning the halacha, that is the instruction itself, that is the will itself. And so since there is no concealment, there's no distance at all between the person learning the halacha and the halacha, and the halacha itself is God's will, so begilui legamre v'leibe hest upon him klal uklal b'nefesh olikis ulevusheh hapnimim, it is completely revealed and not at all obstructed in the godly soul and in its inner garments, shehei machshavto v'dibura, which is the thought of the soul and the speech of the soul, v'eisa shoh shehodom eisik b'divrei Torah, at that time when a person is involved in the study of Torah, in the words of Torah. Harei, so the result is that gam ha-nefesh ulevusheh elu, that the nefesh and these garments are miyuchodim mamesh be'ein sef baruch hu be'eis ha-shoh b'tachos ha-yichud, so that the garments of the soul and the soul itself are completely united with God at that time. Ki yichud diburei u'machshavtei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'muhus v'yatzmusei kenal, as united with God as are God's thought and speech within God himself. Because nothing is separate from God. The only thing is that there can be a perception of separateness when God's face is hidden. In other words, the inner will is hidden. And then the klipa perceives itself as being a separate existence. But here there is no concealment, and here there is no perception of separateness, and where there is no perception of separateness, then there is no other kind of separateness, because in truth everything is one with God, and here the perception is of oneness, so there is no separation at all, and the oneness is total. And what's more, this oneness that a person has, that the nefesh has with its garments to God, is greater mi yichud eirein seif baruch hu be'elim esoyenim. It's greater even than the oneness of God that exists in the higher worlds. Mi'ach hasheratzen ha'elyin hu begili mamish benefesh ulevusheh ha'eskin b'tezo, since the divine will is completely revealed in the nefesh and in its garments during the study of tezo, harei hu hu ha'tezo atzma, then he becomes one with Torah, the nefesh. The whole ha'elam esol yeinim mikabum chayusa me'er v'chayis hanimshech mei ha'Torah, shehiritzeini v'chachmosi yizbarich. And all the higher worlds, as great as they are, they receive their life and their light from Torah. Kidachsiv kulam b'chachma asisa, that all was made with chachma, and Torah is God's chachma. V'imkein ha-chochma shehi ha-toira. So we see that the chochma with which the world was created, and this chochma is toira, is le'mayla mikulam. The toira is higher than the worlds that it creates, since it is the source of their existence and of their life. V'hi hi retzeinu yizbarei chanikra seviv kolam. And this level of toira is the divine will that surrounds the world. Since it is bigger than the world, it surrounds it. It is that level that can't fit and be contained within the worlds. Rather, it gives life from a distance, and it surrounds and transcends the world that it creates. And on the other hand, it is this Ratzon HaElyon that is too big to be contained within the world, yet it is contained within the Nefesh and the garments of the Nefesh that are studying Torah. And although in the higher worlds, are spiritual worlds, and the reason they are spiritual worlds is because godliness is revealed there. Here we're saying that a greater godliness is revealed within the nefesh when it studies Torah, and yet he remains a physical being, and he doesn't become spiritual. And that's because in the higher worlds, it is not so much the degree of godliness that is revealed there, because the godliness revealed in the nefesh is even higher, is even greater. It's just that there, in the higher worlds, there is no physical substance, there is no physical being to resist the appreciation or the awareness of the divine will. So whatever godliness is revealed in the higher worlds, it is revealed in such a manner that it affects the world and turns them into spiritual worlds. Whereas in the nefesh, since the nefesh is in a body, even though the godliness revealed in it is a greater godliness than that in the higher worlds, but the person himself, the body, does not perceive it. He is bottled to it, and he is united to it, with it, and yet he doesn't appreciate it. So the afal gav, the iu lechazi, even though he may not see it, he may not appreciate the godliness which is clothed within him, and that's why he can contain it without becoming spiritual, without losing his existence, precisely because he doesn't see it, which is not the case in the higher world. Whatever godliness is revealed is effective and makes it into a spiritual place. And with this we'll understand why the study of Torah is greater, much greater than all other mitzvahs, and it's even greater than davening, where even though davening is a oneness, a connection with God, the word tefillah comes from the expression naftuli niftalti. It means connection and attachment, and yet the study of Torah is even greater. And the fact that someone whose study of Torah is not his entire life, there are some people to whom their entire life is Torah, and then they have no obligation to daven, to interrupt the learning in order to daven. Whereas if the study of Torah is not your whole life, then you have to interrupt for davening. But if the study of Torah is higher and greater than davening, and a person is studying Torah, why should he ever interrupt the greater thing for a lower thing? Hainu, so the Rebbe explains, since Torah is not his entire life, so he takes time and he interrupts from the study of Torah for other reasons. And that's what it means, that Torah is not his entire life. So since he's interrupting for other reasons anyway, so the Torah tells him that he should interrupt, like for eating, he should interrupt during the time of davening. And now that he's interrupted his learning, he is now obligated to daven. obligated to daven in the time that he's not learning, but not that he interrupt his learning in order to daven. Or another explanation is that the davening is only to make sure that his learning is proper. Because after davening, the learning is on a purer and higher level than without the davening. So this is the advantage, the greatness of Torah, in that in the study of Torah, the person is united with God's will in a greater unity than exists in other mitzvahs, including also the higher worlds. The only thing is that the person doesn't appreciate it and doesn't see it, meaning he doesn't appreciate the greatness of God's will, even though he is buckled to it. Whereas if he stops and studies, and he contemplates the greatness of God's will, and he realizes what he's engaging in, then he not only is united, but he also experiences a great fear, a great yizah that comes from the study of Torah when you appreciate and you are chazi, you do see the godliness that is contained within it, and that brings to a greater fear that makes it even easier and closer to do all of Torah and mitzvahs as a result of this greater fear, as the Rebbe will explain in tomorrow's shiur. In the Hayyim Yom for the 22nd day of Shvat, the Rebbe writes, "As I know, there are two kinds of laws. Aleph, agizet velchashaft leben. There's a law that makes life, that creates life. Like, for example, the law of nature. The law of nature creates nature. And then beis, agizet velchazet bashafim fun leben. There are laws that are created by life. Life dictates" or create the need for certain laws. Menschliche Gesetzen seinen geschaffen von Leben. Human laws are created by life. By the conditions of nature and by the conditions of life, certain laws become necessary, are created. Deshalb seinen sie in jedem Land verschieden. That's why human laws change from country to country, from place to place, because they are created by the circumstances and by the conditions of the place. Leidit noyim von land. Teiras Hashem is der getliche gesetz welche schafft alleben. Teiras Hashem, the laws of Teira, are the kinds of laws that create life. Teiras Hashem is teiras emes. God's Teira is a Teira of truth. The Teira is in alle Erter and alle Zeiten gleich. And that's why Teira is the same all over, in all places and at all times. Teira is nitzchis. Teira is eternal. It's interesting to note that on Chaf Aleph Shvat in the Hayyim Yom, the Rebbe speaks about the obligations of Nisheyu B'neis Chabad, speaks about the Chassidish woman, and then on the day after Chaf Beis Shvat, on Chaf Gimel Shvat again, the Rebbe speaks about the Alter Rebbe's wife, and the effect that a woman has on her husband. And yet on Chav Beis Shvat, the day in between, there is no mention, at least obvious mention, of a Rebbetzin or of a Chassidische Tochter. However, the discussion obviously is the law that creates life and the laws created by life.